ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्री गुरुं दीनकारिणं। नमावं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमो विष्णुराय कृष्ण चैतन्य भक्त श्रीमते राधा नमस्कार। So honoring the 1000th year appearance of Shripad Ramanujacharya, which according to the one of the calendars has already passed by, according to the other calendar is going to be this Sunday. We will make an attempt to glorify him. In this session, we will be seeing the entire history of the lineage, the whole life history of Shripad Ramanujacharya. We'll try to do a part of it today. And later we will be seeing the teachings, works, and the different associates of Shripad Ramanujacharya. There is a lot to learn. Most of these things that I will be speaking could be a little new, but please don't get overwhelmed. We'll see what we can probably learn from these pastimes. यो नित्यम् अच्युत पदाम्बुज युग्म रुक्म व्यामोहतस्ततः इतराणि प्रणायमेने अस्मद्गुरोर् भगवतोस्य दयैकसिन्धोः रामानुजस्य चरणौ शरणं प्रपद्ये। दिस् वर्स् वास् कम्पोस्ड् बै वन् आफ् दि स्टाल्वर्ड् डिसैपल्स् आफ् श्रीपाद रामानुजाचार्य नोन् अस् कूरेश। हि इस् अ वेरि फेमस् पर्सन् दट् वी हव् हर्ड् इवन् इन् अवर् ओन् सम्प्रदाय वेन् वी हव् हर्ड् लेक्चर्स् फ्रम् मेनि सीनियर् वैष्णवास्। We have heard this name several times. He was a very wonderful Vaishnava with great qualities. So this verse was composed by Kuresh in description and glorification of his spiritual master, Shripad Ramanujacharya. So the meaning of this verse is, I take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Ramanuja, who out of great attachment for the golden lotus feet of Achyuta, Achyuta is Narayana, considers everything else in this world as insignificant as a blade of grass. He who is my Acharya is perfect in divine qualities such as knowledge, devotion, etc. And he is Dhyayika Sindhoho. He is an ocean of mercy. So this is a beautiful verse that is often quoted before speaking about Shripad Ramanujacharya. Now, Ramanujacharya is a very important personality in the Sri Sampradaya. This Sri Sampradaya, it originates from Narayana, the Supreme Lord Narayana. And Narayana gave the knowledge to his consort, Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi becomes the first guru of the Sampradaya. Now Lakshmi Devi transferred this knowledge to Vishwaksena. Now Vishwaksena is an eternal associate of Lord Narayana. Vishwaksena has bluish complexion like the Lord, and he has four arms. And he is considered as the commander-in-chief of the devotees of Narayana in Vaikuntha. So he's got a very important position, and this personality is called as Vishwaksena. From Vishwaksena, the knowledge was transferred to a great saint by the name Nam Alvar. So you might have heard of Alvars. We have heard this many times in the past. Alvars of South India, they were great devotees. So one of the most prominent Alvar was called as Nam Alvar. Now this Nam Alvar was the next person who received the knowledge from Vishwaksena. From Nam Alvar, who is also known as Shatakopan, or he is also known as Maran, he is also known by many names like Parankushamini, like that he's got many names. Actually, as we go ahead in the seminar, we'll be hearing these names and the meaning of these names. So from Nam Alvar, the knowledge was transferred to Natha Muni. Okay, he's also called as Ranganatha Muni. From Ranganatha, the knowledge was transferred to Pundarikaksha, from him to Rama Mishra, then came Yamunacharya. Now, Yamunacharya has been quoted by Srila Prabhupada in many places. Even the works of Yamunacharya have been quoted by Srila Prabhupada. from Yamanacharya, the knowledge was transferred to Mahapurna, and from Mahapurna, it went to Ramanujacharya. So this is a rough Guru Parampara that in the Sri Sampradaya, and we see the position of Ramanujacharya in this Parampara. So in disciplic succession, Sripad Ramanujacharya appeared exactly 1,000 years ago, and the entire Sampradaya, after his appearance and his achievements and the way he spread devotional service, after that, this entire Sri Sampradaya came to be celebrated as the great Ramanuja Sampradaya. The entire Sampradaya was called after his name. Now, before we discuss the appearance of Sripad Ramanujacharya, it is very important for us to understand a little background and history of what happened before he appeared. So otherwise, we won't be understanding the further past tense. So I'll give a little bit background before Sripad Ramanuja appears. What happened with these gurus that we just mentioned, right from Nathamuni, from Nammalvar, sorry. After Vishwaksena, it was Nammalvar. From these people, what happened? Little bit story, okay? We don't have to remember these names, but we can just relish the story that had happened, okay? So, as I mentioned, many of us have heard about this term called Alvars. Alvars, they were 12 in number. And they were great Vaishnava saints. And the meaning of Alvar means one who is always immersed in the thought of the Lord. Alvar can also mean one who rules us by his devotion. So there are two meanings to this word Alvar. So these Alvars were the pillars of the Sampradaya, and the entire Sri Sampradaya itself revolves around the 4,000 poetries called as the Divya Prabandham that were composed by the Alvars. Many terms are new, but just try to listen. So the entire Sri Sampradaya revolves around these 4,000 poetries that were composed by these Alvars. These 12 Alvars, all of them appeared much before the appearance of Sripad Ramanujacharya. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, though he's considered as the chief acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, the entire material was already given by the Alvars, who appeared much, much, much before him. Some of the Alvars, they even appeared during the Dwapara Yuga, okay, and some appeared during Kali. So they all appeared over a huge period of time, and their works had been recorded, and then this was used as the basis of the entire Sampradaya. Now, after Krishna left the planet, the Kali Yuga began. So, on the 42nd day of the Kali Yuga, just Krishna left the planet, Kali Yuga began. On the 42nd day of the Kali Yuga, a particular person by the name Nam Alvar appeared in Kali Yuga on the 42nd day. Now, this Nam Alvar was the son of a couple by the name Udayanangai and Karyar. Don't have to remember names, but I'm just giving a little information. So this particular couple had gone and prayed to the Lord that they wanted a son, and their prayers were answered, and they had a son. Okay. So in a place called Alvar Thirunagari, which is in Tirunelveli district in South India, it borders Kerala and Tamil Nadu. So this particular district, this child was born, and when this child was born, he did not drink milk, he did not cry, he did not open his eyes, he did not show much of life symptoms. So they were all very surprised what happened to this child. It is said that when a little baby is born in this world, as soon as the baby comes out of the womb of the mother, a particular air of ignorance called as the Shatavayu, it is called as the Shatavayu in Sanskrit, it engulfs the child. This Shatavayu is the air of ignorance or Maya. Maya immediately covers the baby that is born. So Nam Alvar never cried. He never swallowed the Shatavayu, and hence he never cried when he was born. And he got the name as Shatakopa. That means one who angrily kicked away the air of ignorance. So from day one, the second he was born, he was an enlightened person. Now the parents who gave birth to this great personality, they didn't understand all this. They just thought that the child is very weird. Oh, he's not crying, he's not sucking milk. What is this? They didn't understand anything about the child. So when he was a small baby, after a few months, they just left the child at the lotus feet of the Lord and they went away because they didn't know how to grow up this child. So the child was remaining there, and after a few months, the child crawled and he went to a particular tamarind tree that is still there today in that temple. Into a hole of a tamarind tree, he crawled inside and went and sat there. 16 years passed by. This child was sitting inside the hole of a tamarind tree. Now, actually, when we did the South India Yatra, we went through these places that I've already mentioned, Alwar, Tirunagari, and other places. Most of these places that we are mentioning, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has visited, actually. He's gone to all these places. So he went, little boy, he went and sat inside the tamarind tree, and 16 years passed by. Now, 16 years has passed by, but this child did not drink milk or, you know, show other life symptoms. So he was very underdeveloped. Okay, he was alive, but he was very underdeveloped. Underdeveloped child was sitting there. Now, meanwhile, there was a man by the name Madhur Kavi Alvar. He's also considered as one among the 12 Alvars. During the time of Nam Alvar, there was another person called as Madhur Kavi. This Madhur Kavi, by age, he was senior to Nam Alvar. Okay. This Madhurakavi Brahmana, he had gone all the way to North India, from south, from almost the border of Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Tirunelveli. He was traveling pilgrimage places, and he had gone to Ayodhya. So when he was in Ayodhya, he saw a very strange light, a very powerful strange light coming from the south. So he wanted to follow that light. He wanted to know where that light was coming from. So he started following that light, and he traced his way back all the way to Tirunelveli, from where he was actually coming, to Alwar Tirunagari, which is a small town near Tirunelveli. So he walked all the way there, and he was very curious to know why this light is coming, and why is it coming near me. So he walks all the way back to South India, and there he goes to this particular tamarind tree. From this tamarind tree, the light was actually coming. So he went inside. This Madhur Kavi, he had many questions. He was actually a seeker of knowledge. He had many questions that were unanswered to him by various people. So he was in search of knowledge. And while in his yatra also, he was in search of knowledge. So when he came back, he wanted to ask, he saw that this light is coming from a tamarind tree and there's a person inside this tamarind tree. So out of curiosity, he asked one question. Okay? And this question actually is the beginning of the Sri Sampradaya. When Nam Alvar answered this question, the Sri Sampradaya was born. That's how they call it. So the question asked was, I'll first say it in Tamil, because the question was asked in Tamil in those days, then I will say the meaning of it. Settattin vayatin siriyadu pirandal adu ettai pinne enge kidakkum. This is the question Nam Alvar answered. He never spoke till then. Unless Madhur Kavi Alvar came and spoke to him, he had never spoken a word before that. But now, he, for the first time, Nam Alvar opened his mouth and the Sampradaya was born. He says, Adu attai pinna ange kidakkum. That means, the meaning of this question is, it's a very cryptic question. It has been asked in a very simple way. The question Madhur Kavi asked was, if a living entity enters a dead, what happens? What does it do and what does it eat? So the answer that Nam Alvar gave was, it will stay there and it will eat that. That is the answer he gave. Now this has an inner meaning. The meaning is of course deciphered in different ways. One of the ways it is deciphered is, if a soul enters a dead body, what will it eat and how will it survive? The answer again given by Nam Alvar was again cryptic, and he said it will integrate with the body and stay there. That is, the soul will experience all the pleasures and pains of the body through the senses of the body until it decides to leave this body by its own terms. So, and also there are other explanations given that it talks about Atma and Paramatma. So like that, there are different explanations given about the conversation that these two people asked. So this was the birth of the entire Sampradaya. After Vishvaksena had received it, he had given this knowledge to Nam Alvar. Now Nam Alvar is going to propagate this knowledge. So this is what we are seeing in this story. Now, Madhur Kavi, he was very impressed with the question that he was asking and the way this person inside the tamarind tree was giving him answers. So he requested this person, Nam Alvar, to give him more knowledge, and he became a scribe. whatever Nammalvar was telling him, he was sitting and writing it down. This was scribed several years ago, even much before Ramanujacharya even appeared. Okay, this is all in the beginning of Kali Yuga. So he scribed down everything. Now, whatever knowledge he received from his guru, he put it into four sections. Okay, so he scribed about 1,100 plus verses in four sections. So over a period of time, and of course many more alvars had appeared and everything was written down and it was all lost over a period of time. Many years passed by. Then in 900 AD, over a period of time, a lot of this knowledge was lost. In 900 AD, now you forget the first part of the story. So we are stopped at a point where the knowledge was given to a person by the name Adrukavi. Not everything, a part of it, like about 1,100 verses was given, and he scribed it. And over a period of time, we don't know what happened. Now, in 900 AD, let's go fast forward, there was a great saint by the name Ishwara Muni. Okay? Now we are going to see the story of Yamanacharya, and then we'll jump into the story of Ramanuja very soon. So, there was a great saint by the name Ishwara Muni. This Ishwara Muni had a son by the name Natha Muni. Okay, this Natha Muni we saw was a part of the Sampradaya. So this Natha Muni, again, he went to a trip to North India. This time, this Natha Muni is going to Vrindavan. So he crossed the Yamuna and he went on the other side of, and he reached the other side of the banks, and he reached Vrindavan. So he was very, he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna had blessed him. So this Natha Muni had a grandson by the name Yamuna Muni, who is Yamunacharya. That's why he has named his son as Yamuna. When he crossed the Yamuna and the child was born, he was very happy. So he named this particular child as Yamuna Muni. At that time, his name was Yamuna Muni. Later, he became Yamuna Acharya. Okay. Now, Natha Muni, after his yatra to Vrindavan, he came back to South India. And when he came back to South India, he went back to his own town. There in the temple, he was hearing some Vaishnavas who were visiting the temple, and they were all singing some songs in praise of the Lord. So when he heard these beautiful songs that were sung by these Vaishnavas, he was very enchanted. He was like, oh my God, I've never heard such beautiful songs. So he went and approached these devotees and asked them about the origin of these songs. Where did you get these poems from? So they were like, actually, we don't know. In our native place, we sing the songs. So we just repeated these songs here. So there were 10 lines that were sung, or 10 phrases that were sung. At the end of the 10th phrase, it finishes off saying, these are 10 songs among the 1,000 songs. This is how the song finishes. They finish the 10 verses, then they say, these are the 10 verses among the great vast 1,000 verses. So when Natha Muni, or Sri Ranganatha Muni, he heard this, he was thinking there is something in this. It is just not 10 verses. There is so much more to it. There are 1,000. So I should figure out what these 1,000 verses are. Okay, now we are in 900 AD. We are seeing the story of Natha Muni. So he went to Yamuna all the way, and then he comes back, and then he hears these verses, and he understands that there is a huge set of poetry of which only 10 are known, and these 10 are so beautiful. So these people, they direct Natha Muni to their native place. When they go to their native place, which is near Kumbakonam, they say, no, we also know only these 10, but if you go to a place known as Alvar Tirunagari, where Namalvar was born, there you will get the entire set of 1,000 verses. So this Natha Muni, he goes to Alvar Tirunagari, where Namalvar had appeared many several years ago inside this moon tree. So he goes all the way back to this town, and there he asks many people about the poems that are sung in front of the deities. So at that time, they direct him to a person called as Parankushadasa. Parankusha is actually a name of Namalvar. In the lineage of Madhurakavi, who was the first disciple of Namalvar, many, many, many people had come down till 900 AD, and all of them had the surname Parankushadas. All of them had the same surname. So he went to the house of the descendant of Madhurakavi, who was the disciple of Namalvar. We have seen the story. So he went there and he inquired about these nurses. So that time, this person, who is the descendant of Madhurakavi, he said, yes, these 10 verses are available, but I will give you 11 more verses. These 11 verses were composed by that Madhurakavi, my ancestor, in glorification of his Guru Nammalvar. So there is a method to get all the verses. All that you need to do is, you should chant these 11 verses that praises Nammalvar 12,000 times in deep meditation. If you do that, Nammalvar himself will appear in front of you. So, taking this instruction to his heart, Natha Muni began meditating on these verses and he was chanting these verses 12,000 times with great devotion. So, when he finished chanting these verses 12,000 times, Nammalvar appeared in front of him. Now, this period is much after Nammalvar had left, but still being impressed by the devotion that Natha Muni and with the perseverance of Natha Muni, Nammalvar himself appeared in front of him. And he told, and when Natha Muni asked, please give me those verses in glorification of the Lord. At that time, he asked only for 1,000 verses, right? Natha Muni knows that there's only 1,000 verses. That's all he knows. So he asked, please give me those 1,000 verses in glorification of the Lord. So that time Nammalvar said, it's just not 1,000, it is 4,000. 4,000 verses composed by all the 12 Alvars, okay? So at that time, this Nammalvar gave Natha Muni all the 4,000 verses known as Divya Prabandham. So this Divya Prabandham forms the basis of the entire Sri Sampradaya. It's also called as Dravida Veda. Dravida Veda means the Veda of the South India. Basically, it's nothing but whatever is seen in our scriptures is actually in Tamil, in these 4,000 verses. Okay? So, now Natha Muni. So we have come to the point of Natha Muni. He has received the knowledge from Nammalvar. Okay, we are seeing the entire disciplic succession. Now, once Natha Muni received this knowledge from Nammalvar, Natha Muni began to preach with these 4,000 verses. He had many disciples, of which two of them are extremely important. So one particular disciple, he taught Yoga Rahasya. Yoga Rahasya is actually a process of Ashtanga Yoga to meditate on the form of the Lord. Just like how in Bhagavatam, we read Kapila, Lord Kapila actually talks about Yoga Rahasya. He talks about the meditation on the form of the Lord. This secret was known to Natha Muni. Natha Muni gave this knowledge only to one person. He didn't give it to everybody. He gave it only to one person. His name is Kurugai Kavalappan. Don't worry about the name. I'll just say Kavalappan so that it's easy for us to pronounce and we can remember this name later. So he gave this knowledge only to one particular person. And he also had another very, very important disciple called as Pundarikaksha. In Tamil, his name is Uyyakondar. That's how he's commonly known in South. But for the time being, we'll hear his name as Pundarikaksha, the one who has eyes like lotus flowers. So this Pundarikaksha, he received knowledge from his guru Natha Muni, but he didn't receive the knowledge of Ashtanga Yoga. Rather, he received the Vedanta knowledge. He understood the Vaishnava theology from his guru Natha Muni. Now, this Pundarikaksha, he had a disciple by the name Rama Mishra or Manakal Nambi. Now, this Rama Mishra is the one who's actually going to meet Yamunacharya. So, grandfather guru is Natha Muni. From Natha Muni, there is Pundarikaksha. From Pundarikaksha, there is Rama Mishra. Okay? Now, at the same time, disciplic succession is continuing. Okay? Now, Natha Muni, biologically, he had children, right? Natha Muni's grandson was Yamuna Muni or Yamunacharya. So, biologically, his grandson is Yamunacharya. And in his disciplic succession, we have Rama Mishra as his grand disciple, okay? Now, there is Rama Mishra, there is Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya is the biological grandson and he's waiting. Now, let's see the story of Yamunacharya. So, Yamunacharya, he was born in a very great family that was blessed by Lord Krishna. And this entire family was called as Shattai Kulam. There's a surname, okay? It's called as the Shattais. They are called as the Shattai Kulam. And it's a very famous lineage. They consider as very brilliant people. So he comes in that lineage. And in those days, he studied Shastra under a person called as Mahabhashi Bhatta. His name was Mahabhashi Bhattacharya. great person, the great pandit. But at the same time, in the country they were in the Pandya Desh, and there the king had a particular pandit in his court by the name Kolahala. Okay, this Kolahala was a very, very proud pandit, very, very proud pandit, and he used to call other scholars for a debate, and he used to win everybody. Very, very smart person. His another name was Aki Arman. He's also called as Kolahala. He was a great, very, very brilliant person who could defeat any scholar in debate. So at that time, the king of Pandya Desh, he was very impressed with the scholarly aptitude of Kolahala, and he had passed a law in the state that any scholar who was defeated by Kolahala must pay him tax, okay? Pay him a part of the money from his salary. So this was a law passed by the government in those days. So all pundits had to give Kolahala money, okay? So a soldier would come and collect the money and go. So like that, once the soldier came, and Yamuna Muni's guru, this Mahabhashya Bhattar, from whom he was learning knowledge initially, he had also lost one of the debates, so he was also paying tax money to this Kolahala. So when Kolahala's messengers, they came to receive the tax, that day Mahabhashya Bhatta was not around. Only his disciple was there, and his disciple at that time was Yamunacharya. So Yamuna Muni or Yamunacharya, he received the soldier and he told him, why should I pay you any tax? My guru cannot pay you any tax. You go back. So the soldier went back and said, there is one arrogant boy he's a disciple of Mahabhashya Bhatta, and he said that he won't give any money. So at that time, the king was very, very angry, and the king told, immediately I summoned him to come. He should come here immediately. At that time, the wife of the king, she was a great Vaishnavi. She said, no, that's not how you call a great Brahmana Pandit. You should not say, oh, you come here. You cannot put orders like that. You must go worship him and invite him. Send your messengers, worship him and invite him to the court. Then he will come. You cannot treat him like this. So listening to the queen, the king sent an invite to Yamunacharya with a lot of respect. And Yamunacharya said, yes, I will come. So Yamunacharya, this little boy, he was a boy of around 12 years old. Yamunacharya went to the court of the king on behalf of his spiritual master. Now, Yamunacharya went to the court. He saw the scholar. And during this time, while he was going to the king's court, at that time, there was a difference of opinion that broke between the king and the queen about the boy who is going to come. So the king said, okay, this arrogant boy is going to come. Just like how a cat plays with a mouse, similarly, Kolahala will defeat and destroy this boy, because Kolahala is known to have defeated everybody. So at that time, the queen was a devotee. She realized this Yamunacharya is not an ordinary child. She said, just as a spark can turn a mountain of cloth into ashes, similarly, this little boy is the one who is going to destroy the mountain-like pride that Kolahala has. So this was an argument between the king and the queen. So one person was favoring the little boy Yamunacharya, and the other one was favoring the great pandit Kolahala. Then the king said, okay, now we'll make a deal. The queen first made a deal. She said, okay, I make a deal with you. If Yamunacharya defeats Kolahala, then I will always remain the servant of your maid servant. And in turn, the king said, okay, if Kolahala wins, then, if Yamunacharya wins, then I will give half my kingdom to Yamunacharya. If Kolahala is defeated and Yamunacharya wins, I will accept defeat on behalf of Kolahala, my great pandit, and I will give this Yamuna, this little boy, half my kingdom. So this was the deal that was struck. So if Yamunacharya loses, the wife is going to become a servant, and if Yamunacharya wins, the king says that he will give half the kingdom to Yamunacharya. So this was the deal between the husband and wife, the king and the queen. Now, Yamunacharya then entered into the court, and they had some pleasantries. They were just conversing for a while, and then the pandit came in front. Then when the pandit came in front, Yamunacharya said, okay, let's now begin the debate. He said, whatever statements I make, you must refute the statement. That is the debate that they're going to have. So Yamanacharya would make some statements and Kolahala should refute Yamanacharya's statement. That is, whatever he says is true, Kolahala should prove that it is false. Okay, so this is the deal that they had. This is how the argument began. So at that time, Yamanacharya began his first statement. Yamanacharya said, my first proposition is that your mother is not a barren woman. That means you should prove that your mother is a barren woman. How can he prove? He is born out of his mother. His mother has given birth to him and he has to say that his mother is a barren woman. That was the first statement. So then Kolahala was like he was totally confused. He was like, my mother has given birth to me and how is it possible for her to be a barren woman? I cannot refute this statement. So seeing Kolahala being silent and dumb, everyone was very astonished. Then Yamanacharya said the second statement. He said, this Pandya king is supremely righteous. That means Kolahala has to defeat the statement saying this Pandya king is not a righteous king. Now how will he do it? Standing in the court of the king, in front of the court. The king and queen are looking at this conversation. And he has to say, Kolahala with his own mouth has to say that the king is not a righteous man. So Yamanacharya said, okay, refute this if you can. Again, Kolahala was like totally dumb and he couldn't answer back. Then Yamanacharya spoke the third statement. He said, my third statement is that the queen of the Pandya king is a chaste and faithful woman to her husband as was Savitri Devi. So just like how Savitri was very chaste to her husband, similarly, this queen is very chaste and faithful to her husband. At this point, Kolahala must say, the queen is not chaste. If he ever says that, he knows he's doomed for life in front of the queen and in front of the king. And in fact, the queen was known for her chastity in those days. So seeing all these questions, Kolahala got very, very angry and he said, oh, I'm a loyal subject. I cannot say that the king is unrighteous or the queen is unfaithful. So if you have an answer to refute your statements, then first you first do it. Because I'm not able to do it, but you have to tell, if there are answers to this, if there is a refutation to this, you first do it and show me. So at that time, Yamanacharya said, my first statement is Tvam Mata Na Vandya. That means, this great pundit, your mother, is not a barren woman. Okay? Tvam Mata Na is a barren woman. Now I have to defeat it, saying that she is not a barren woman. Yeah. She's not a barren woman. Now I have to defeat it saying that she's a barren woman. So how I'm going to do is, according to Manu Samhita, that a woman who, it says that if a woman has only one child, she's considered as barren. Okay? Your mother has only child, that is you. Hence, according to Manu Samhita, she's still barren. She has not given birth to another child, so she's considered barren. So that is the first statement. Then the second statement Yamanacharya said is that the king of the Pandyas is the most righteous man. Now, Rajayam Sarvabhauma, this was the statement made. But however, according to Manu Samhita, again, Manu Samhita states that the king enjoys the benefit of 1/6 of the religious acts of his subject, but also has to bear the burden of 1/6 of their sinful deeds. And hence, because in this age of Kali, men are more prone towards sinfulness than piety, our king, though he is himself flawless in character, still, he is accepting the sins of his subjects. So he is a sinful man and he is not righteous. Okay, this was the second statement and he defeated it. Then he said, now my third proposition stated that a queen is a chaste and faithful woman like Savitri. Okay, and Rajapatni Pativrata. Now to defeat this, again, if you consult the laws of Manu, there it is said that the king is a representative of Agni, Vayu, Surya, Chandra, Yama, Kuvera, Varuna and Indra. Therefore, this queen is not married to one man, but she is married to 8 people. So how can you say that she was chaste only to one king? So this is how Yamanacharya defeats these three statements. So the king was so surprised, he was so elated. He became so happy with the wit of Yamanacharya. He went forward and he embraced Yamanacharya. And he said, I'm so happy by the way you have conquered the pride of this Kolahala. And he goes and as per his deal that he spoke to his wife, he gets half his kingdom. the queen was also extremely happy, and when she heard the words of Yamunacharya and she heard the words of her husband, she screams out, Alavandar, Alavandar, Yemmai Alavandiro, that means, have you come to conquer me, Alavandar? So from that day, Yamunacharya was called as Alavandar. Now again on Prabhupada's purports, you will see Yamunacharya being referred as Alavandar. The spelling used is Alabandaru, that is a Kannada dialect, Alabandaru. The Tamil dialect is Alavandar. So it's the same thing. You will see again in a lot of Prabhupada's purports, he would have mentioned Alavandar, he would have mentioned Yamunacharya. So this is the story of Yamunacharya. Now, Yamunacharya received the kingdom, and he received the kingdom, and he became a great king, and he was ruling his subjects very nicely. Now, he was totally involved in the pleasures of the kingly affairs, and he was like really enjoying his power as a king. He forgot all about his past, where he was the son of a Brahmana, and he was the wonderful grandson of Nathamuni, all that he had forgotten. And now today, his identity for himself was that he is a great king. So he was ruling and he was extremely happy. And he had four sons from his queen. And some of these sons even become his disciples later when he takes sannyas. So we are at a point where he's ruling the kingdom very happily. Now at that time, remember when I told that Nathamuni had a disciple, Pundarikaksha, and his disciple was Rama Mishra. We stopped there. Similarly, Nathamuni's grandson was Yamuna Muni. And now he's become the great Alavandar, the great king. Okay? So this Rama Mishra, who is the grand disciple of Nathamuni, came to know that the grandson of his Nathamuni is actually a king now, and he's forgotten what he must be doing. He's doing something totally not necessary now. That is, he's ruling the kingdom and enjoying pleasures. That is not required for the grandson of Nathamuni, because he has to propagate the sampradaya. He has to become the next sampradaya acharya. So at that time, Rama Mishra was very concerned about this person. So he devised a plan to go to the kingdom and bring back the grandson of Nathamuni back to the correct path. Okay? So the plan that Rama Mishra devised was that he went to the cook in the kingdom, inside the palace. There was a kitchen, of course, and the kitchen had a head cook. So he went to that particular head cook, and he said, hereafter, I will supply you some greens, and you should cook these greens and give it to the king regularly. So the cook also agreed. He said, yeah, we actually give him greens regularly, so you can come and supply the greens to me. So like a vegetable person, a vegetable vendor, every day, Rama Mishra used to pick a particular variety of greens known as, it's called a Thuduvalakira in Tamil, but in Marathi, it is called Mothiringni and Achura in Sanskrit. So basically, this particular variety of greens has a lot of thorns in it. It cannot be just cooked and eaten like that. It has to be first soaked in hot water. The thorns must be removed carefully. And then usually they make a soup kind of a thing, or the leaves are cooked very well and then served. And it has very high medicinal properties. It makes a person's memory extremely sharp, and the person becomes very bright when he eats this particular variety of greens. So he was supplying only this variety of greens for a long time, and the cook would cook this variety of greens and he would keep giving it to the king, and this went on and on. And for some reason, the king, Yamunacharya or Alavandar, he liked the greens so much and he got addicted to it. Like even if one day the greens doesn't come on his table, he would be angry like that. So he would continue to keep eating this greens for 6 months continuously on an everyday basis. Then when this Rama Mishra was supplying the greens, understood, okay, this king is eating these greens regularly. Suddenly one day he stopped supplying the greens. So suddenly one day he never appeared in front of the cook. So at that time, the cook didn't receive the greens. So he didn't cook the greens. The rest of the meal was prepared and it was presented in front of Yamunacharya or Alavandar. So when Alavandar saw all these items are there, but where is my favorite item? I've been having it for 6 months, and why hasn't it come? I am the king in this, in this place. Is there not a single person who can provide me with these greens? So at that time, the cook is summoned, and the cook comes and tells him that actually the person who supplies those greens, only that person used to supply, and today he didn't turn up. I have no idea why he didn't turn up. Then the king was extremely angry. Yamunacharya was extremely angry. He said, ask that person to come in front of me immediately. How dare he not supply these grains? So immediately Rama Mishra was called for, and Rama Mishra entered the kingdom. He entered the palace. He went and stood in front of his grandfather Guru's grandson, who is Yamuna Muni or Yamunacharya. So he went and stood in front of him, and he was very satisfied and heart. So at that time, Alavandar or Yamunacharya asked him, "Why didn't you give me the greens today? What happened to you?" So at that time, Rama Mishra said, "I did it purposely so that I could get your darshan. I could see you face to face." The Yamunacharya was like, "Why would you want to see me face to face? What is it?" So at that time, Rama Mishra said, "You're enjoying a lot of wealth. You're very happy. You're a great king. But there is one particular wealth that you have missed. I've come here to remind you of that wealth." So Yamunacharya, that time he was very attached to all these pleasures and wealth and all that. He was thinking, "Oh, I've missed something, so tell me what it is. I'll go fetch it." So at that time, Rama Mishra said, "No, you have to wait for 18 days for me to show you that wealth. It's your ancestral wealth. It's the wealth of your grandfather. I will give it to you only after 18 days. But there is a condition. In these 18 days, you should sit and listen to what I say." So in those 18 days, Rama Mishra spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita, one chapter per day, 18 chapters with the meaning and essence. He preached to Yamunacharya. At the end of the 18th day, Yamunacharya was filled with love of God because he had heard the entire Bhagavad Gita with the correct meaning. And he became extremely happy and he got the higher taste. Within 18 days, there was a transformation in the heart of this great king Alavandar, who was originally a Brahmin boy. And his grandfather is actually the Parama Acharya for that sampradaya. Okay? So he got a taste for, and hearing, he got a taste for devotion. So engaging in the process of bhakti is actually very, very happy and it's a satisfying experience. So if we keep saying, "Oh, honey tastes sweet, honey tastes sweet," we will not realize the sweetness unless we lick the honey. Unless we experience devotion, we never understand and realize how valuable and how happy it is, how it makes us so satisfied and happy. So that experience was given to Alavandar by this particular devotee by the name Rama Mishra. His name in the sampradaya is called as Manakkal Nambi. That is another name for him, more commonly used name. Okay. So so like this, Alavandar received all the knowledge. Now this Manakkal Nambi or Rama Mishra said, "Okay, now it's time for you to go and receive your wealth." At this point, Alavandar was not very interested in the wealth because he already felt that, okay, I have the highest wealth, so why should I go to something else? Then Rama Mishra insisted, no, you have to come with me. He takes him by hand and he says that wealth is across 7 enclosures. That is actually the Ranganath deity in Sri Rangam. There are 7 enclosures if you enter the temple. For those who know about the temple, there are inside 7 enclosures the deity is present. So he takes them from all the way from Pandyadesh. They go to Sri Rangam. They walk, both of them. And then Yamunacharya is presented in front of the deity. The minute he sees the deity, his heart is totally melted. Already he's transformed. Now he totally melts down and he decides to give up his kingdom. He surrenders to the lotus feet of Rama Mishra and he says, "Hereafter, only Lord Ranganath is my life. I have no other duties." So this Yamuna Muni, or this Alavandar, now became Yamunacharya, and he took sannyas. Yamunacharya took sannyas and he wrote many works. Like one of the famous works is Sotra Ratna. Again, Prabhupada has commented on this particular work several times. Very, very famous work. And also, he wrote Gitartha Sangraham, that is a set of 32 shlokas glorifying that talks about the Gita Sar, that talks about the essence of the Gita that he heard from his guru. Okay? Now, Yamunacharya's story is over. Now, Yamunacharya, he had many disciples, of which Mahapurna was very important because all these personalities are going to become the guru of Ramanujacharya, the disciples of Yamunacharya. So Yamunacharya had many disciples like Mahapurna, Goshtipurna. All these people are going to give mantras to Ramanuja. And then Kanchipurna and many others. Many of them were his disciples. And time went by. Okay, now Yamunacharya has become a sannyasi. He's got many disciples. Now, at this point, the disciples are also there. Everything is going good. Yamunacharya slowly started aging. Okay, but Yamanacharya remembered that he had heard from Rama Mishra that one particular disciple of Nathamuni, who's his grandfather, knows yoga rahasya, but that was not transmitted through the sampradaya. The Ashtanga yoga which I was speaking about, it was not transmitted down through generations. So he thought he must receive this yoga rahasya. So he decides to go and see this person. So he goes all the way to the village where this particular devotee, the one and only person who knows the method of Ashtanga Yoga of meditating on the form of the Lord, that is explained by Kapila Muni. So he goes in search of this person, and he goes to the place where he's sitting and meditating. This person was sitting in front of a small wall, and he was meditating, and he was speaking with the Lord. So Yamanacharya, he goes, and he when he sees this person, he stays back because this person is in great meditation. So he waits for this person to come out of his meditation of his own accord. So when Kurugai Kavalappan, or this person who was meditating, he was seeing Krishna, and Krishna for some reason was pressing his shoulder down and peeping outside. Like usually Krishna sees Kurugai Kavalappan, he will see Krishna, that's how the meditation is. But only this particular day, Krishna was not interested in seeing this devotee. Rather, he was pressing his shoulders down and he was looking in a different direction. Move, I want to see someone else, like that. So he was looking out somewhere else. So when this man saw this kind of a scene in front of him where Krishna is not even interested in looking at him, he understood someone who is very special to the Lord has actually come. So at that time, he broke from his meditation and he shouted, or he called out, "Is anyone from the Shottai Kulam come here?" Because he knows that his guru is actually from Shottai Kulam, and his guru is very dear to Krishna. Okay, so he immediately gets this idea that someone from that family has come. That's why Krishna is not looking at me, and he's trying to look elsewhere. So then he calls out like that. Yamanacharya comes in front of him, and he introduces himself as being the grandson of Nathamuni. And the Kurugai Kavalappan is extremely happy to see Yamanacharya. Then Yamanacharya requests this person, "Can I please learn yoga rahasya from you?" Okay. So at that time, this person says, "Not now. You come back. You come back after some time, at the time of Pushya. When the Pushya nakshatra is with the moon, at that time you come back." That is a few days later. So Yamanacharya goes back to Sri Rangam, and he's sitting there. And there he's just continuing with his usual duties. And on one of these days, he's just sitting in front of the deity, and devotees there, they are enacting the Divya Prabandham, or the shlokas of the Alvas. They are in glorification of the Lord. They are showing actions and they are singing that shlokas. So in one particular shloka, it says, "Go to Thiruvananthapuram." Thiruvananthapuram is the Padmanabha Swami temple. We have done this in South India Yatra in Kerala. So the shloka says, "Walk all the way to Thiruvananthapuram or Padmanabha Swami temple and go and do the service of sweeping the floor of the temple." So this is a particular verse that the Alvars sing. And when the devotees were singing this verse in front of the Lord with action, that time suddenly Yamanacharya, he had a feeling, oh, maybe this is an indication that it's been a long time and I should go there and do the sweeping service. So immediately Yamanacharya with his disciples, they start walking towards Kerala, where the Thiruvananthapuram is, to Padmanabha Swami temple. And they go all the way there and they pick up brooms and they start sweeping the temple. Because he's so immersed in the songs of the Alvars, he felt it's a personal instruction and he went there. While he was sweeping, suddenly he realized, today is that auspicious day of the Pushya Nakshatra and I'm here sweeping. I have to go all the way back to where that person is going to teach me Ashtanga Yoga. So when Yamanacharya again walks back to that place, it so happens that this particular Kurukai Kavalappan, he leaves his body and he goes back to the spiritual world. So why all this story is? Because the Yoga Rahasya, the path of Ashtanga Yoga within the Vaishnava Sampradaya is not actually passed down anymore in the age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga for us, Nama Sankirtan, that's all. So all this, Ashtanga Yoga, sitting and meditating on the form of the Lord was not passed down even in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. It got cut off because the age of Kali was progressing. So that's why I wanted to say this story. So continuing, Yeah. So Yamnacharya now became a little old. Now I tell one very important story. Why I have to tell this is because we have to see the appearance of Ramanujacharya. We haven't seen his appearance yet. So Yamnacharya was getting old and old. At that time, his guru, Ramamishra, was also getting very old, right? Because his guru, he was also getting very old. So at that time, Ramamishra tells him that, oh, Yamuna, you're doing a very good job. You're a very good acharya. You're having disciples. Things are going very good with you. But I have something to tell you. This sampradaya, the actual acharya of the sampradaya, who's going to propagate the sampradaya and make it big and spread devotional service, is yet to appear. And during your time, he will appear. He'll appear during your time. And he will come and spread this far and wide. It's a prediction that was already being made. So at that time, Yamunacharya asked, oh, is it? Then how will I recognize him? How will I bring him here? So at that time, Ramamishra says, he now recounts a story that happened. We are going back to the original story of Namma Alvar and Madhurakavi, that particular scene that began the sampradaya. We are going all the way there now. Okay, so then Ramamishra recounts an old story. So when Namma Alvar was about to depart, his disciple Madhurakavi, who had received the first 1,000 shlokas, remember, that person, he became very, very sad and he told Namma Alvar, if you depart, who is going to make the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya grow? So please give me an alternative. So at that time, Namma Alvar told him, go to the river Tamirabarani. Tamirabarani is one of the rivers that flows in south near Tirunelveli. So he says, you go to that river and make a pot out of clay, mud pot out of clay, fetch some water from Tamirabarani, set up a fire and boil that water nicely. Okay? So this Madhurakavi, now Namma Alvar is, we are going flashback now. Namma Alvar is going to leave. Madhurakavi is being instructed to go fetch water and boil that water. So he fetches the water and the water begins to boil. And the water boils and boils and boils and it leaves a residue. Okay, when the water boils, it leaves a residue. And from that residue, a particular vigraha appears, a murti, a vigraha appears. So when Madhurakavi receives this vigraha, he's so surprised. And he looks at Namma Alvar and says, I wanted a solution from you. So I thought your vigraha will appear, but this vigraha doesn't look anywhere close to you. You look so different from this vigraha that has come from this boiling of the water. He says this. Then he asks Namma Alvar, so who is this personality? I've never seen him before. At that time, Namma Alvar says, in the future, in the age of Kali, in a place called Sri Perumbador, a great personality will appear. He will be the commander of this entire sampradaya. He is the one who is going to appear and propagate the sampradaya. So this original vigraha that first appeared at that time was the vigraha of Ramanuja. So the vigraha had these following marks. It had a very beautiful personality wearing tilak, holding a tridanda, the Vaishnava danda. He had a beautiful shikha and he was dressed like a sannyasi. So this was the first vigraha of Ramanuja that appeared from water and it was preserved for, even to this day it is preserved, it's been there for a very long time. Okay, so Ramamishra, who is the guru of Yamunacharya, is telling him this old story. So he tells him that these are the indications and that personality will come during your time. So now Yamunacharya is very, very happy. Now, of course, later Namma Alvar's vigraha also comes, because originally Madhurakavi was asking for his vigraha. So later again Namma Alvar says, okay, go and fetch some more water and boil, now my vigraha will come. So two vigrahas had come out. In the first batch, Ramanuja's vigraha, second batch, Namma Alvar's vigraha. So both the vigrahas are present even to this day. So that's the story of the flashback story, which Ramamishra is telling Yamunacharya. Now Yamunacharya is very happy. He knows who his successor is. That Ramanuja, he doesn't know the name Ramanuja, but he knows that there's a particular boy whom he's going to meet who's going to be his successor. Okay. Then again, the time goes by, he becomes very old. And let's see quickly the appearance of Ramanujacharya before we end the class. Time goes by. Then, this, as I mentioned, Yamunacharya had many disciples, like Sri Shailapurna, he had Mahapurna, Kanchipurna, all of them were the disciples of Yamunacharya. Now, one particular disciple is called as Periya Thirumalai Nambi or Sri Saila Purna. Okay, he was doing service in the Tirupati temple, Thirumala Tirupati. There, he would do the service of carrying water for the Abhishek of the Lord. Okay, this was the service given to that person called as Sri Saila Purna. Now, Sri Saila Purna had two sisters. The sisters' names were Sri Devi and Bhu Devi. Okay. This Bhudevi was also known as Ganti Mati. So two sisters he had, and he got these sisters married to two qualified Brahmanas. So Bhudevi or Ganti Mati was married to Keshava Somayaji. Okay, this he was a very exalted Brahmin with very good qualities. That is, he had a very good character. So a very, very qualified person married Bhudevi, and Sri Devi was married to another person by the name Kamalanayana Bhatta. So this Sri Saila Purna, we are getting into Sri Saila Purna because this is the family of Ramanuja. So Sri Saila Purna had two sisters, of which Bhu Devi is very important, and she was married to Keshava Somayaji. Now Bhu Devi or Kantimati and Keshava Somayaji are actually the parents of Ramanuja. Now they desire to have a son. So they went to a particular temple in Triplicane. Triplicane is inside Chennai city. They went there. The temple is known as the Parthasarathi temple, where the form of the Lord is actually a two-armed form, Krishna form. But interestingly, it's a huge murti of Krishna. And it's not a two-armed form. Actually, there are four arms, sorry. So, but it's a huge form which has a big mustache. That's the only deity that has a mustache, but a deity of the Lord, which Supreme Lord that has a mustache. So it's a very beautiful deity, and it is in the heart of the Chennai city. So this couple, they go there and they pray to have a son, and their prayer is answered by the Lord, and the Lord says, yes, you will have a very qualified son. So they come back to their place, and they are living in a place called as Sri Perambadur. That's the birthplace of Ramanuja. Sri Perambadur is not very far off from Chennai. It's like if you just cross the outskirts, maybe 50 kilometers from the central point of Chennai, you'll reach Sri Perambadur. It's not very far off. So they came back to Sri Perambadur, and there they had their child. The great Ramanuja was born. Okay. So during the month of Chitra, during Adra Nakshatra, Ramanuja, the great Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, was born. Now, so we understand that this child was actually the sister's son, right? Sri Saila Purna's sister's son. That means the child's mama is Sri Saila Purna, who is a disciple of Yamanacharya. Okay? So when the child was born, this child was named as Ilaya Alvan or Ilaya Thirumal. This was the original name given to Ramanuja. It means the same. It actually means Ramanuja. Ramanuja means Anuja of Rama, which is Lakshmana. Ilaya Thirumal means Lakshmana only in Tamil. Okay, the younger Lord, it is actually correct. The translation is the younger Lord. So that is the name that was given to Ramanuja when he was born. Ramanuja, as he was growing up, he began his schooling. And he began his schooling close to Kanchipuram. Now, Sri Perambadur and Kanchipuram are not very far away. We are saying now it's not far away because we have all these conveyances like cars and other things. In those days, it was almost 50 kilometers. They had to go only by walk. Okay? So, from Sri Perambadur, Ramanuja would walk to school to Kanchipuram. Near Kanchipuram, there is a particular town called Tirupukkuri. In that town, there was a guru for Ramanujacharya who was teaching him Purva Paksha. And that guru's name was Yadava Prakasha. Now, this is a very famous name we have heard. We have heard a lot about the story between Yadava Prakasha and Ramanuja, a very, very interesting story. So, in his younger days, Ramanujacharya went to the school of Yadava Prakasha. Now, this Yadava Prakasha was actually a Mayavadi. Okay, he was not a Vaishnava. He was a Mayavadi. But still, in those days, you know, they just went to a famous guru. They just went, okay, this person is teaching me Purva Paksha, I will go and learn from him. So Ramanuja would go. He would walk all the way to the school of Yadava Prakasha. Yadava Prakasha was a man of pride. He had many disciples. He was very famous, but he had his own flaws. So Ramanuja would go there, and he would go regularly to school. Now, one day, before he was going to school, his mother, Bhu Devi, she was singing the songs of the Alvars, the Divya Prabandham. Okay, she would always sing in the morning when she was doing her daily chores. Like how, you know, we know historically of Yashoda, She would sing songs of when she was doing her daily chores. So like that, in those days, many ladies, they would sit, they didn't have these TV, entertainment, radio, all that was not there. So they would entertain themselves by singing songs. And usually they always sang songs in glorification of the Lord. So his mother was singing a particular song that translates like this. O Lord, the self-illuminating eternal lamp of wisdom. This is how the song begins. I'm just giving the English part. I'm not going to sing the song, but it's just the English part of it. It says, the Lord is self-illuminating. He's also eternal and he's also a lamp of wisdom. Simultaneously, the song talks about three aspects of the Lord. So Ramanuja, in the morning when he's getting ready for school, he hears this beautiful song by his mother and he's meditating on the song and he's walking all the way to school. Okay, so when he reached school, there, this Yadava Prakasha, he's giving a class on Taittiriya Upanishad. Okay, the class was on Taittiriya Upanishad, and the verse read was Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is the verse, we have heard this many times. Satyam Jnanam Anantam, we have heard this. So Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, this is from Taittiriya Upanishad. So when while explaining this verse, when the children were all reading out this verse, the guru said, okay, I will explain this verse. So he explained this verse saying that this Satyam Jnanam Anantam itself is Brahman. Because Brahman is Ekam. It is one. According to Mayavad philosophy, there is nothing but Brahman. There is only one truth, that is Brahman. So Satyam Jnanam Anantam itself is Brahman. This is the kind of explanation that Yadava Prakasha was giving. But then Ramanuja thought this explanation is not correct. Just in the morning I heard my mother singing that the Lord is endowed with these three qualities. So the Lord can simultaneously be endowed with many qualities. Okay, so he says, no, dear Guru, it is not like that. It is, the meaning is that the Supreme Lord is endowed with the qualities of intelligence, truth and he is also infinite. He is simultaneously endowed with these qualities. It is not that everything is one and all these qualities are Brahman. You should not take the meaning like that. So when Ramanuja tried to correct him like this, he didn't like it. He was like, he didn't appreciate it much. Ramanuja was trying to explain. See, just like, for example, the Lord can simultaneously have many qualities. Just like you and me, we can be wearing a red color dress, we can be eating a pizza, and we can be talking to our friend. We can do three things simultaneously. So why can't the Lord actually have multiple qualities endowed in him? So this is the kind of argument Ramanujacharya was putting forth to his guru. Anyway, his guru didn't appreciate it much, and he asked him to keep quiet, okay? But the students who were present with Ramanujacharya, they were very impressed. Oh, this is interesting. This boy has a lot of knowledge. So this went on for a while. Then after a few days later, again, Ramanuja was getting ready to go to school. At that time, his mother was singing songs from the Vijaya Prabandham. She was singing a particular song where a girl is calling out to her friend and she's saying, this is a song in glorification of the Lord. The song is, in your house there is a garden. In that garden there is a little pond. In that pond there are beautiful lotuses. The Lord's eyes are like these beautiful lotuses. This is a poetry that she's singing in the morning from the Divya Prabandham. So Ramanuja hears this and he's meditating on the eyes of the Lord. Wow, the eyes of the Lord is so beautiful. It is like fully bloomed lotuses. So Ramanuja goes to school. That day, it is the massage day. The guru is applying oil all over his body and the disciples are massaging him. And it was Ramanuja's turn to massage the body of his guru Yadava Prakasha. So Ramanuja was very busily giving him a good massage. And then the guru said, okay, open up your textbook, open up Chandogya Upanishad, and recite a verse from Chandogya Upanishad. The verse recited by the children were, Tata Kapyasam Pundari Kaksha Nevahi Akshini. Okay, they are reciting this verse. Then the guru says, okay, stop. Now I will give the explanation. He says, the Lord's eyes is red like the sitting place of a monkey, backside of a monkey. Okay, so this is the meaning of this verse. And when Ramanuja, who was giving massage, heard these words, he just felt so bad and he started crying. That when he was crying, he was so filled with love of God, he felt so sad and hot tears were coming down from his eyes. And these hot tears actually fell on the thigh of Yadava Prakasha. So when Yadava Prakasha saw some drops of hot tears falling on him, he just looked up and he asked, Ramanuja, what happened? Why are you crying? I don't think this is an emotional point. We are just talking about the description of the Lord's eyes. What's so emotional in that? Then Ramanuja felt very, very bad. He was totally distressed. He was like, I never expected to hear such an explanation from you. You're a great scholar and you're giving such a bad explanation. You're comparing the lotus eyes of the Lord to the back of a monkey, lower back of a monkey. That is not correct. He says it's a very sinful thing to compare the eyes, beautiful eyes of the Supreme Lord, like, to the back of a monkey. The Lord is endowed with such beautiful qualities. It has to really be compared to beautiful things in this world. So this is what Ramanuja says. Now, this is the second time Yadava Prakasha is getting irritated with Ramanuja. So he says, okay, you think you know everything. Now you tell me, what else could be the meaning of this? So at that time, Yadava Prakasha gives the meaning of, our Ramanuja Acharya gives the meaning of this verse. Now, before we get into the meaning, a short thing. There, according to Sanskrit dictionary, there are six meanings for the word Kapyasam. Now, Kapyasam has been translated as the buttocks of a monkey, right? By Yadava Prakasha. But actually, Kapyasam has six meanings. What are those six meanings? The first meaning is back of a monkey. That is correct. Kapi ayasam. That means back of a monkey. That is correct. Okay? First meaning is that. Second meaning means it is the horizon. During sunset, you see the reddish color on the sky, right? That is also called as Kapyasam. The third meaning is something that is blown up, bloated. That is also called as Kapyasam. Third meaning. But all these three meanings are not applicable. Why? Because the meaning must be seen based on context. We just cannot give, like, for example, this example is given. In Hindi, you say kal, right? Kal can mean tomorrow or yesterday. How should you take the meaning of kal? Based on the context, how the sentence is being framed. That's how you take the meaning. So these three meanings of Kapyasam are eliminated naturally because it doesn't fit into the meaning of the verse, okay? Then the fourth meaning is that which has the asam as water. This is slightly acceptable. You can say anything that has the asam as water, like even a lotus flower has its asam as the water because it's sitting on the water, right? But still, it is slightly acceptable. It is still not fully correct. That is also called as Kapyasam because Kapi Asanam, you can translate it as Kapyasam, okay? This is the fourth meaning. The fifth meaning is Kam Pibati Iti. That which drinks is called as Kapyasam. That which drinks water is called as Kapyasam. So the lotus stem actually drinks water, right? So it is also called as Kapyasam. Lotus stem is also Kapyasam. Then the sixth meaning is Kam Pibati Iti Kapihi. That means that which drinks water is also the sun. The sun drains out water, right? So the sun drinks water. A name of Surya is also Kapi. Okay, there are many names for Surya. One of the terms by which the sun is called as Kapihi in Sanskrit. So, Kam Pibati Iti Kapihi. And Kapyasa means that which is bloomed by the rays of the sun which has contact with water. That is a lotus. So, this is the exact meaning of Kapyasam. That means, Kapyasa means a lotus flower that is in contact with water. And it is being bloomed by the rays of the sun that is drinking the water. This is the full meaning of that particular word, Kapyasam, according to correct dictionary. Okay, and it fits the context here. When you're describing the beautiful eyes of the Lord that is reddish, you're supposed to compare it with lotus flower. And what kind of lotus flower? That which has contact with water and being bloomed by the rays of the sun. So like this, Ramanujacharya explains the meaning. He says, this is the meaning. It means that the two eyes of the Supreme Lord are as lovely as two lotus flowers that are bloomed by the rays of the sun. So he gives this explanation and all the children are extremely happy and they're applauding him for what he spoke and Yadava Prakasha is totally upset. Okay? You think we should continue? I just wanted to continue about Yadava Prakasha, finish Yadava Prakasha's fight with Ramanujacharya. If everyone is okay, I'll continue, or I can stop also.
I'm please good, Mataji. I'm
okay. So we'll stop at one point.
So wonderful.
Okay. And if anyone, please, if anyone wants to log out, no problem. Please log out. I know you have other duties to do. It's Friday morning, so please log out. If we can always have the recording, that's no problem. Absolutely. Okay. People who would like to stay, we'll just finish another part. Till Ramanujacharya kind of probably takes sannyas. It's not very much, actually. So, Saitsati, Adhava Prakasha continues. Now, this is the second fight that they had. Then Yadava Prakasha, over a period of time, he was getting very irritated with Ramanujacharya. He didn't like the way Ramanujacharya was answering him. So he with his disciples, once they decided to go to Kashi Yatra, North India. They wanted to go to Kashi Yatra. So when they were going to Kashi Yatra, when they were crossing the Vindhyachala Mountains, that is actually, almost halfway between North India and South India, when they were crossing the Vindhya Mountains, this Yadava Prakasha plotted a plan to kill Ramanujacharya. He was so irritated with Ramanujacharya that he wanted to kill him. Just imagine how frustrated Yadava Prakasha was. He had a lot of ego, that is the problem. But still, he wanted to kill Ramanujacharya. So with some of his very close disciples who were supporting him, this Yadava Prakasha came up with a plan. The plan is, when Ramanuja takes bath in the Manikarnika River, you should just push him down inside the water and submerge his body. Just push him into the water. This is the plan that the boys who were supportive of Yadava Prakasha and Yadava Prakasha had. So this plan, when they were planning in the night, actually, Ramanuja,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think Mataji got cut off.
Yeah.
Maybe Yadav Prakash didn't like this.
Yeah.
Let me get back to her.
Okay.
Again,
climax. Yeah. We're at the climax. We're about to have Oh, yes, Mataji.
No, I know
how
I got cut off.
You got cut off right when you were saying they were going to kill Ramanujacharya by drowning him in the river.
Okay. Yeah, very nice. Thank you. I don't know what happened, though. Okay, so they are planning to kill him, okay? So this is the point. So when when they were talking about this plan in the night, there was one boy by the name Govinda who heard this. Now, this Govinda is none other than Ramanujacharya's cousin. Initially, I said, Sri Shailakuna had two sisters, Sri Devi, Bhu Devi. Bhu Devi's son is Ramanuja. Sri Devi's son is Govinda. Govinda and Ramanuja were very, very close, and they studied in the same school under Yadava Prakasha. Now, Govinda, a very innocent boy, he overheard the plot to kill his cousin, so his elder brother, right? So he was extremely upset, but he was very scared that he will get caught if he reveals it to Ramanujacharya. So what he did was, the next day morning, he knows that Ramanuja would go to the ocean to take bath. So that time there, in the wet sand, he wrote him, "There is danger. Oh, Ramanuja, please leave immediately. Go back. Oh, brother, go back. Go back to south. Go back to Kanchipuram. Don't stay here anymore." So this was written on the sand, on wet sand, when Ramanuja went to take bath. And Govinda went and hid himself because he didn't want to get caught by Yadava Prakasha. He knows Yadava Prakasha will go to any extent of killing anybody. So he went and he hid. Now, Ramanuja saw these sentences and he understood that this was written by his brother Govinda, and he understood that it should be taken seriously. If Govinda is saying something, there is a meaning to it. He didn't know the entire plan of Yadava Prakasha at that time, but he understood the seriousness of the situation and he started walking back south. Okay, that day itself, that day early morning, he started walking back south before Yadava Prakasha woke up or came to know what was happening. When Yadava Prakasha woke up, and everyone searched for Ramanuja, and Ramanuja was missing. So everyone came to the conclusion that maybe in the night in the forest, some animal killed him, and he's no more now. And everyone, Yadava Prakasha and his close disciples were very happy. Okay, this is the end of Ramanuja's story. No need to kill him. He himself died. So they were all extremely happy. Now, Ramanuja had actually escaped, and he was walking down south through the Vindhyachal Mountains. Okay, through the forest, he started walking. While he was walking, he didn't know where to walk, how to walk, which direction to go. He was totally confused, but he was just walking, looking if someone could help him. So suddenly, he saw a couple, a hunter couple, a tribal hunter couple who were crossing by. So he stopped them and he asked them, "Can you please show me the direction towards Kanchipuram in South India? I need to go there." So that hunter couple were like, "Okay, we are also going down south, you can just follow me." So Ramanuja becomes friends with this hunter couple, and they keep talking and they keep moving forward. So while they were moving, like this is how they were walking. First the hunter, second the hunter's wife, and behind him, Ramanuja. Just like Ramayana, you have Rama walking first, you have Sita in the middle, behind them you have Lakshmana. Similarly, you have the hunter, you have the hunter's wife, and behind them, Lakshmana, who is Ramanuja, is walking. Actually, Adisheshamsha is Ramanuja. So Lakshmana is walking. Like that, they were walking down in the forest. At one point, the hunter's wife said, I'm very thirsty. I cannot walk any longer. Please fetch me some water. So Ramanuja says, you stay back with your husband. I'll go fetch water. Then the wife says, see there in the distance, I see a well. Please go there and fetch some water. So Ramanuja goes. He goes, takes a little pot, and he tries to fetch some water, and he comes back, and then he gives the water to the thirsty hunter's wife, and the hunter's wife says, let's lie down and rest for a while. It's almost night, so we can wake up and then continue our travel. Ramanuja also sleeps there. The hunter couple also sleeps. Next day morning, when he wakes up, the hunter couple is missing. So Ramanuja thinks, so they went away, now I have to go by myself. And then Ramanuja, he begins to walk. While he takes just a few steps, a few Vaishnavas are crossing by. Almost the forest area is ending, and a few Vaishnavas are crossing by. So he asks these Vaishnavas, isn't this Vindhyachala Parvata? Can you show me the way to Kanchipuram? And these Vaishnavas are very confused. They are like, why is he telling Vindhyachala? He says, what are you saying? This is Kanchipuram. Where do you think you are? You're not in Vindhyachala, you're in Kanchipuram. Ramanuja is extremely surprised. He just takes a few more steps and he sees the big temple tower of Kanchipuram, Varadaraj temple tower. And then he realizes he's actually landed in Kanchipuram just in a few steps. Then he realizes the hunter couple who came were none other than Lord Varadaraj, form of Narayana, the temple deity there, and Pirandevi, goddess Pirandevi, who's Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi and Narayana came there and escorted Ramanujacharya back within a few minutes, actually. They just rested for the night, and the next day he was in Kanchipuram. So he obtained the favor of Lakshmi Narayana, who personally came to take care of him. So this is about the story of him escaping from his guru and coming back to Kanchipuram. Once he came back to Kanchipuram, he was engaged in the service of fetching water for the Abhishek of the deity of Varadaraj from a particular well, which is preserved even to this day. If you go there, you can still see the well. Okay, Ramanuja was also married at the age of 16 to a girl by the name Rakshamba. Just keep this information in mind. We'll see her story later. Now, Yadava Prakash party, after a long, you go walking all the way to north and you come back, it's not easy, it takes several days. So his entire party, they came back and they were shocked to see Ramanuja still alive and he's hale and healthy. But Ramanuja didn't hold any grudge against his guru. Okay, they came back and they were shocked and they were not happy, but Ramanuja was pretty normal. And Ramanuja, another thing is he had to continue his education. He just cannot leave like that and go. So he went back to Yadava Prakasha to continue his education. So that time, one of the days when the disciples and Yadava Prakasha, they were actually walking, there was a small king there. And that king had a daughter who was possessed by a ghost. So this ghost had taken over and it was troubling the king's daughter. So the king sent word for many learned people and they heard of Yadava Prakasha, that he's a very learned people and he's a very learned person in town. And the king sent word for him and requested Yadava Prakasha to drive away the ghost that had possessed his daughter. So Yadava Prakasha, very, very puffed up, he took all his disciples. So when he goes in front of the ghost and he tells the ghost, oh ghost, leave this girl's body immediately. He goes and gives order to the ghost. The ghost says, I won't leave anyone's body, I will stay back here only. Then Yadava Prakasha gets very angry. He says, why? I am the great Yadava Prakasha. I am telling you, you should leave this girl's body immediately. Then the ghost tells him, listen, I know who you were in your previous birth. In your previous birth, after all, you were a toad. Toad living near a pond, near a temple. Because you had the fortune of accepting the remnants of some Vaishnavas who had come to that temple, you have taken this body of Yadava Prakasha and you are a great scholar today. That is all. That is all you did. All that you had is you had the fortune. I mean, it's a big thing. It's not that small. But it's a big thing. That toad had the fortune of taking remnants of Vaishnavas, and hence he has this human body, and you have become Yadava Prakasha now. So don't be very proud of yourself. And just because you say, ask me to go, I'm not going to leave this girl. This is the answer the ghost is giving back in the form of the girl. Then the king gets very upset. He's like, okay, is there someone you will listen to? And the Brahmarakshas, actually, that ghost, it says about his own story. It says, you know who I was in my previous birth? In my previous birth, I was a Brahmana. Because I recited some mantras wrongly, I became a Brahmarakshas. I had to take the form of a ghost, and now I'm possessing this girl. That also that ghost says, his previous birth. Then the king asks, now, please tell me, how will you get out of my child's body? Then the ghost says, the Brahmarakshas says, if this little boy who's standing behind Yadava Prakasha tells me, I will listen only to him and I will leave. Who's that little boy? It is Ramanuja. So if that boy, Ramanuja, tells, I will leave. So at that time, Ramanuja steps forward and he says, I plead you to leave this girl's body. And as a proof, please break the branch of a tree before you leave. The ghost immediately agrees because he is a great Vaishnava. He agrees to leave. He gets the mercy of Ramanuja. Actually, it's said that he gets the mercy of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. And then he decides to leave the body. He breaks the branch and the ghost leaves and the girl becomes normal. So Ramanuja's act here was actually praised by everybody. And he became very famous, actually, Ramanuja in the village. He's the one who drove away the ghost. So his respect started increasing more and more. As it is in a school, his respect had increased. And Yadava Prakasha's, because of his pride itself, he was being hated by many people. And Ramanuja's respect was increasing day by day. And people were going to Ramanuja for everything, to receive Vedic knowledge or whatever it is, they thought he's the best person. So the entire town became followers of Ramanuja slowly. Now, again in school, there was another argument between the Guru and Shishya. This argument resulted in the dismissal of Ramanuja from his school. So that argument was from Chandogya Upanishad. That particular verse says, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahmam, that word, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahmam. This is from Chandogya Upanishad 3.14.1. So again, Ramanuja gives a Vaishnava interpretation and this person talks pure Mayavad, and there is a big fight debate that breaks out between the Guru and the disciple. And then Yadava Prakasha has determined, I have to send this boy out of school, and that's the only way I can escape from him. Now, meanwhile, so they're at a point where Ramanuja is going to be dismissed from school. Meanwhile, Yamunacharya is waiting for Ramanuja. Remember, he received the Vigraha, he heard the story of receiving the Vigraha from his Guru, and his Guru told him a great person is going to appear. Before you leave your body, you should make him as the successor. So Yamunacharya is getting all these thoughts in his mind. I have to somehow find this boy. Now, how am I going to find this boy? This was the concern Yamunacharya was having. So at that time, Yamunacharya, he sent some of his disciples to Kanchipuram. Why did he send them to Kanchipuram? In those days in South India, Kanchipuram was the greatest seat of learning. So he had an idea that if people go to Kanchipuram, they will find great scholars and somehow this boy will be spotted there. Okay? So he sends his disciples to Kanchipuram. His disciples come to Kanchipuram. They go to the Varadaraj temple. They hear about this unique boy by the name Ramanujacharya and the great accomplishments that he has done, how Goddess Lakshmi and Narayana, Lord Narayana accompanied him from the forest to the city, and how he drove away the goat, and so many stories about this boy, the entire town was talking. And these messengers of Yamunacharya heard this, and they went back to Srirangam where Yamunacharya was waiting, and they told him the news about this boy. And they also told him, this boy is none other than the Sri Shailapurna sister's son, Ilayalvan. That boy is the one who's doing all this. Then Yamunacharya understands, okay, this is the boy whom my guru has told about, and I should bring this boy. He will be the successor of the Sampradaya. So Yamunacharya, he comes to Kanchipuram just to see this boy and confirm for himself. So he comes to Kanchipuram, he comes to the Varadarajaswami temple, and they are doing a production, circumambulation of the temple. Okay. So Yamanacharya is going with his disciples. At that time, it was the last day of school of Ramanuja, and he's being given TC and he's being sent out, dismissal day. So before being dismissed, Yadava Prakasha, for the little goodness he had, he decided to take all the disciples for one darshan of Varadaraj, and then he said, you can get out of school after that. So they are on the dismissal day, he's going, and they are also circumambulating the Lord, okay? So Yamanacharya is in the temple, Ramanuja is with Yadava Prakasha and his team. Yamanacharya comes, and he asks his associates, who's that boy? Can you show me that boy in this group? Then the associates, they point towards Ramanuja and see, that boy who's very tall, who's very good looking, that boy is Ramanuja. Actually, it's said in some of the historical accounts that Ramanuja was 8 feet tall. So you can imagine how tall he was. Nowadays, 6 feet itself is a big thing, but he was extremely tall 1,000 years back. So, he shows him. Yamanacharya doesn't disturb. He doesn't go and talk, oh, hi, how are you? No, he doesn't go and talk to Ramanuja. He just sees him with his eyes and blesses him in his mind. That's all. Gives his, just the sight of the guru is very purifying, they say. So he just saw Ramanuja and he was very satisfied in mind and he was assured that this is the person. But he didn't go and talk to him. He went back to Sri Rangam because he didn't want to disturb him and he was with Yadava Prakasha and team. So he didn't want to disturb him. He went back. After he went back to Sri Rangam, he sent his disciple by the name Mahapurna. He sent Mahapurna to Kanchipuram to bring Ramanuja. So when Mahapurna came to Kanchipuram to bring Ramanuja, at that time Mahapurna went and told him. Ramanuja doesn't have a guru now. Yadava Prakasha has dismissed him out of school. Again, he's doing the service of temple service by carrying water for the Lord. So, and also he had the association of one of the disciples of Yamanacharya known as Kanchipurna. After we finish the story, we are stopping today. Okay. So Mahapurna takes the message of Yamanacharya and he goes to meet Ramanuja. He goes and introduces himself. And then Ramanuja is very happy to meet Mahapurna. And he says, oh, Yamanacharya wants to see me. I've heard of Yamanacharya, that he's a great guru and he lives in Sri Rangam. I'm so fortunate that you have come and you're asking me to come with you. I'm very fortunate I will come. So Ramanujacharya and Mahapurna, they start walking towards Sri Rangam to meet Yamanacharya. Now when they are walking towards Sri Rangam, as they cross the Kaveri to enter Sri Rangam, few people are coming running very sorrowfully. They say, Yamanacharya passed away. So then he's just entering Sri Rangam and Ramanuja is being brought by Mahapurna. He's just entering Sri Rangam. Yamanacharya passes away. Ramanuja breaks down. He's like, what is this? I wanted to see my guru, my future guru, and even before I arrived, he's passed away. Then Yamanacharya and Mahapurna go towards Ramanuja and Mahapurna walk towards where Yamanacharya's mortal remains are kept. So when he goes and sees there, he sees something very unique. He sees that Yamanacharya has clutched 3 fingers tight, okay, in his hand. So Ramanuja, he's just looking at that, and Mahapurna inquires from the other disciples, why has he kept those 3 fingers clutched? That time the disciples say that he had 3 desires that are unfulfilled. Then, do you know what those 3 desires were? They ask. So he says, we don't know what desires Gurudev had when he was leaving. We have absolutely no idea, but all that we know is he had 3 desires, they say. Then Ramanuja closes his eyes, he meditates for a second, and he speaks out 3 statements. Write a bhashya for the Brahma Sutra. The first finger opens. Okay, Ramanuja just utters these words. I must write a bhashya for the Brahma Sutras. And later the bhashya that he wrote is known as Sri Bhashya, just like we have Govinda Bhashya, right? Similarly, he wrote a bhashya for the Brahma Sutras known as Sri Bhashya. Then he says, second statement, Vyasa and Parashara are great personalities and their names should be kept for 2 people in the Sampradaya. Okay, that is the second desire Yamanacharya had. The third finger opened when he said, the name of Nammalvar, Karankushamani, should be kept for 1 person and a commentary on Thiruvalmozhi must be written. Thiruvalmozhi is the composition of Nammalvar. It has about 1,000 verses or something. So one should write a commentary on these verses. So these were the three desires that Yamanacharya had, and these fingers opened up. Once Ramanuja said these three statements, Yamanacharya's face smiled, and then all life symptoms were gone. So when Ramanuja said these statements and they saw this, that the fingers opened and Yamanacharya's face smiled, everybody understood he's the Sampradaya Acharya next, and everyone surrendered unto him. So we will stop here, and the next class we'll see the associates, how Ramanuja takes sannyas. Actually, that's a very big story. Okay, Ramanuja takes sannyas, and then he gets his disciples, the story of his disciples, and then how Ramanuja carried so many services, how he established so many temples, the kind of worship that he installed, everything we will see probably in the next class. Because it's 1.5 hours, I'll stop here. The story of him getting initiation, the questions he had, how Lord Varadaraj answers his questions, all that story is very beautiful. But I think we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, comments, or any additions, please let me know. Thank you all so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Very nice. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kirti Mataji. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just had one question, a couple of comments. So the Yamunacharya's disciples, all of them Karna, Purna, all these different Purna. So is Purna a surname or a title or something that's given to them?
Yeah, actually, this is a more common name that is used, but the actual names are different. Their actual names are different. Purna is one who's completed knowledge, something like that you can say.
Okay, so it's almost like a child. Okay, that was just curious. Also,
yeah,
I was just... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So, what I wanted to say is all of them, this Kanchi means the person from Kanchi. Okay, Kanchi Purna means, actually his name is Tirukachi Nambigal, his actual name. His actual name is something else, I forgot. But anyway, there's a Tamil name to everything, so it's difficult if I keep saying the Tamil name, people won't follow, right? So these are the common names that I use. Because he's from Kanchipuram, Kanchi Purna. Because this person is from Tirukoshtiyur, his name is Goshti Purna. Like that, they give the name.
I see.
This person was serving a Tirupati, which is it's called a Sri Saila, right? The Great Hill.
Right.
So he's called a Sri Saila Purna. Like that. Based on the place where they were serving, the name is given.
Okay, so Purna is just kind of like almost just a suffix there.
Yeah.
For that time. Okay, that's a question. Yeah. Also, I was just a couple of thoughts that I thoughts that came to my mind as you were telling the story. Fantastic story. We did not want you to stop, obviously, but the first thing I was thinking was the scene where Krishna was pushing down the shoulder so he could see and I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada says it's not that you should act so that the Lord wants to see you, right? And I was immediately thinking, well, the Lord obviously wanted to see him, right? So that was one thing that I was thinking. And the other thing was I thinking when you're singing about when his mother was chanting or singing the songs and stuff, and I was just reflecting how, you know, my mother-in-law, same thing, always singing, you know, as she's doing stuff around the house. And I was thinking how Amma is considered the first guru, right?
Correct.
And so there is the first example of how Amma becomes the guru by just singing the glories of the Lord. So those two thoughts were coming to my mind. And the other thing I was thinking also was that, you know, usually the guru is very happy. Srila Prabhupada is very happy when his disciples would be able to defeat in an argument somebody else, right? Whereas this guru was so, you know, is so upset. So envious. What a mood to have that, you know, shows the character of a guru who, you know, and a lot, you know, even in India they say that the best compliment for the guru is if the student surpasses him, right?
Correct.
You know,
correct, yeah.
So this is just those couple thoughts that have come to my mind. So many lessons just from the story. It's just fantastic. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for the realizations. Usually I never pause for the realizations. I just keep saying story. But at the end of it, when you share the realizations, I feel there's so much impact to the whole thing. So thank you so much, Mataji. Please continue sharing like this. It's so encouraging. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Wonderful class. So nice to hear the whole thing. And since there are so many twists and turns, I mean, next time, maybe when we have time, you can just summarize like a flow chart.
Yeah, I will summarize, sure. Actually, yeah. I had so much information written down, and we haven't crossed even quarter the ocean, actually. Sure. Because we have just seen the passing away of Yamanacharya, because only after Ramanuja comes to the, you know, sannyasa ashram, there's so much action, actually. So, let's see. Yeah. Yes, Mataji, definitely I'll give a recap before starting, sure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji, for taking us to Kanchipuram and Parthasarathi and giving darshan of all these different places.
Thank you so much, Mataji. And go ahead,
Mataji.
No, I just asked her if she wanted to add anything.
The beauty is you combined everything, Mataji. We know these stories in different places, but it's like a flow. This is the first time I'm hearing connecting from Nammalvar to Madhura Kavi. It's ecstatic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. And feel free to add more realizations, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very nice, wonderful class, lot of stories, and can't able to remember all the names, but
that's okay.
Yeah, so the way how you explained and link is very linked. It's long, you took us a journey to where we can sense the connection between the devotees and the Guru Parampara, disciple succession, everything. If you have any links, like a flowchart kind of thing, how the parampara came or something, can you please share in the group, Mataji, so that it helps
us
to link?
Sure, Mataji, with all pleasure, definitely.
Yeah, so the pictorial representation keeps us to remember the stories, you know.
Yes, Mataji, very true.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Mataji. Please go ahead and continue this part 2 also and part 3 also. Whenever you want to stop, you can stop, but we love to listen from you.
Thank you.
And do it in sequence so that we will remember the stories and we can link to next episode so that we can understand. So we like this. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your great service and for your time spending for us.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. Haribol. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, thank you so much. I think I should, I have nothing to add much more now because already devotees have added so much. So, I mean, I do agree with all those points since I have no contact with the South India. So all these names are really
new,
much difficult than Sanskrit verses for me to pronounce.
Very true.
So, yes, Mataji, the flowchart will really help, of course.
Yes.
And thank you again for this much awaited seminar. Please go
thank
ahead
you.
And finish it with the second and the third part too.
Yes, Mataji, surely. Yeah.
And one question,
too.
Like, I don't know, I've asked previously also because some tips, you know, here and there parts you have already shared while narrating some Chaitanya Charitamrita portions. So we were aware of, like, I was a little aware of some stories because we have already shared. So Ramanujacharya was not able to meet Yamunacharya, right? That's what the crux is?
In the sense, like, he couldn't really go talk to him and take initiation. But how they have explained it is that the message came that Yamunacharya is dead, right? So Ramanuja goes, but when he speaks these three statements, there is still some life symptom. The people are thinking he's dead, but it appears that there are still some life symptoms. That's why the fingers open up and his face smiles. Now, if there is no life symptom, there is no way for a face to smile up suddenly, right? So it was something like a, you can say, some people call it like a coma state or something like that. So Ramanuja had the darshan of Yamunacharya, He spoke these three statements. Yamanacharya was satisfied in heart that Ramanuja has come and he left his body. That is one way of looking at it. But still the initiation or anything didn't happen with Yamanacharya. Is that okay, Mataji?
Okay. So the mantra that was recited by Ramanujacharya for the benefit of others, though he was being prohibited by his guru, so was given by Yadava Prakasha, not by Yamanacharya?
No. Yadava Prakasha doesn't come anywhere in the picture. So Yadava Prakasha, he was just learning some Upanishads and some Pura Paksha from him. He didn't even get into the Vaishnava crux at all with Yadava Prakasha. And it was early school days, that's all. This Yadava Prakasha thing, just the early school days, before he met Yamanacharya. Now the mantras that Ramanuja received were from different gurus, interestingly. It was not only from one guru. Because Yamanacharya, as I said, had many disciples. Some of them were Mahapurna, Kanchipurna, Goshtipurna, like that many people were there, Srishailapurna, like that. So Ramanuja, he got this Namo Narayana mantra, which he said on the temple tower to everybody, from Goshtipurna. He got, actually in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they give you three mantras, not just one mantra. One is called as the Namo Narayana mantra, which is given. The other one is the Dvaya mantra, which is something like Narayana Sharanam Sharanam Prapatti Srimati Narayana Namaha. That mantra he received from Mahapurna. We will see that is the next thing. Before Sannyasi, first he will receive mantra from Mahapurna. Later he receives from Goshtipurna. First Mahapurna is his first guru actually. And then he receives two mantras from Mahapurna. So Ramanuja receives two mantras from Mahapurna and one mantra from Goshtipurna. And also he received the essence of the Ramayana from his uncle Sri Shailapurna. So he has many gurus in one sense. Even Kanchipurna teaches him many things. So Ramanuja has many gurus. Haribo?
Yes, Mataji, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Mataji. And looking forward to hear you complete this
podcast. Yes, Mataji.
Seminar.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Mataji. I was also having a comment kind of akin to this. The scene, the episode where you spoke about Yamanacharya actually blessing Ramanujacharya when he saw him as a child.
Mm.
I was just thinking that, you know, in that essence, I mean, he kind of, I mean, I don't want to speculate, but there's some connection there, too, from him through Yamanacharya. You know, in a sense, being just thinking that he was being blessed by Yamanacharya at the time.
Oh, definitely.
Right,
definitely.
So there's some accepting.
Yeah, accepting, yes.
You know, you know how they say even if you accept in your mind the guru, then that's like that. So if the guru himself has blessed you, that seems to me to have some kind of continue that connection, is what
Right. You're totally right. And that's what they say, right? Like, just like how a fish takes
protects its by this eye. Yeah. Because I was thinking as she was speaking, I was just, I'm sorry.
And a tortoise meditates on its eggs, or a turtle meditates on its eggs, and then the eggs hatch. Similarly, Yamanacharya saw Ramanuja and blessed him with his eyes, and he was meditating about Ramanujacharya all the while, and he was thinking, this boy is such a nice boy, why is he stuck with his Mayavadi guru? So all this was going on. He was meditating, he was blessing him with his eyes, and this connection was established right there. You're right.
Because I remember as you were saying that, I was thinking, I got goosebumps when you said that. He looked at him and blessed him, and I thought, okay, this is important.
I was even hearing, I think Radhivala Prabhu or someone in one of the classes, they were talking about different kinds of initiations. Even with the blessing with the eyes, like, you know, that Guru Kripa Kataksha is very, very powerful. It is also a variety of, it's a kind of initiation, you can say. Or it is a kind of acceptance.
That's what I thought. I remembered something vaguely.
Even when you embrace a person, like, you know, sometimes some disciples, they receive an embrace from their Guru Maharaj. That's actually something very special. It's like an initiation, actually. So, yeah, even that is considered as a special blessing, you can say. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Paneshwari. Mataji, you bring about such good points. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji. Thank you very much for this wonderful, wonderful class, Mataji. So nice. We can hear you for some more time also.
I don't mind. Because I have material for another half an hour for today.
So nice and wonderful realizations, Bhaneshwari Mataji. Thank you for sharing with us and nice questions. So thank you very much, Mataji. Lots of information and it's hard to recollect everything. I think I can listen to the recording.
Yes, Mataji, it's tough to remember everything. But that's okay, it's just for Kata. So it's okay.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, Mataji, I think I was muted and so
yeah,
I was not
yeah,
able to ask my question, but that's okay.
Yes.
Mataji, quick question for you. First of all, very, very nice class. I like how you brought all that information together so nicely. It was like listening to a beautiful story unfold. So thank you. Mataji, my question is the Sri Sampradaya. You mentioned that it started when Krishna imparted the knowledge to his consort Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
So, two questions. One, is this about the same time when Krishna imparted the knowledge in our Sampradaya, or is it before that? And then the second question is, did he impart the knowledge about bhakti? Just this, it was it the exact same knowledge, or was it a variation?
Okay. Regarding the timeline, there is no timeline as such mentioned like that. Because all the sampradayas are eternally coming from the Lord. So we generally do not ascribe a timeline to when the knowledge was spoken because everything in the spiritual world is eternal, right? And the knowledge is coming from the Lord, it is eternal. So there's not like the Lord spoke this at this point and then after some days he spoke for a different sampradaya. I don't think we can really fit that into this equation. That is one thing. The second thing is, what did you ask? You asked something, right? What was the second thing you asked?
So the second question was the knowledge exactly the same? So all the
So all these four Vaishnava Sampradayas, there are four Vaishnava Sampradayas that is accepted. And these four Vaishnava Sampradayas only speak about bhakti. They talk about the difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. That is, they speak a difference that we are not God. I mean, we never become God. We are not one with God. Everything is not Brahman. You know, like how the Mayavadis, they say everything is one. We don't ascribe to that kind of a philosophy. We always consider ourselves the servant of the servant in all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, servant of the Lord. So that is the basis. But there are a little differences in the philosophical aspects, which is for us, you know, at this point where we are not like great scholars, we cannot really understand these little nuances, little philosophical differences. But that is okay and that is accepted and appreciated by everybody. Differences are appreciated between the four sampradayas. So basic understanding is the same in the four Vaishnava sampradayas, that this is the Supreme Lord, I am his servant. Okay, I never become God. This basic understanding is there in the four sampradayas. Now, if you look at the Sri Sampradaya, major difference, you know, like for a common man, the major difference he can see between the Sri Sampradaya and our Sampradaya is probably the way the Lord is worshipped. There it is more about Sriman Narayana and Lakshmi. Here it is more about Radha Krishna. Again, here we follow Achintya Bheda Bheda. There they follow Visishta Advaita. It is not very different. Again, Visishta Advaita and Achintya Bheda Bheda, very slight differences. So not a huge difference in the philosophy. Okay, is that okay, Mataji?
Absolutely, Mataji. But again, in Sri Sampradaya, the Lord is worshipped with awe and reverence. And I know
yes,
in our
Sampradaya,
the focus is a little different, right?
Definitely, definitely. Okay. In our Sampradaya, actually, especially the Sampradaya given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually given Raganuga Bhakti, Krishna Prema. That is very different. So the mood is definitely very different. Very different. Yeah. It's not
thank
so much of the way the Lord is seen in the, as Sriman Narayana. It's not like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Very nice. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you all so much. So we'll end the call now. And anyone else wants to say anything? Okay. So we'll end the call now. Vancha Kalpataru Vishcha, Kripa Sandhu Bhevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha.
அனந்த கோட்டி வைஷ்ணவரந்த கி ஜாய், ராமாச்சார ஸ்ரீ ஹரிதாஸ் தாக்கூர் கி ஜாய், ஸ்ரீபத் ராமானுஜாச்சாரியா கி ஜாய். தேங்க்யூ ஆல் சோ மச். அனந்த கோட்டி வைஷ்ணவரந்த கி ஜாய். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.